Welcome to episode 1102 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Have you ever looked at a massive cargo ship and wondered how such a vessel stays afloat, carrying thousands of tons across vast oceans? Now, imagine a man in ancient times, instructed to build a similar-sized structure, not for commerce, but for the survival of all life on Earth. Was that possible? The feasibility of Noah's Ark, as described in the Bible, has been widely debated among scholars, engineers, and historians. The two primary questions that arise when considering its historical and practical plausibility are, could the Ark have physically accommodated a zoo of animals? Was the Ark seaworthy enough to survive a global flood? Using the biblical dimensions given in Genesis 6, verses 14 to 16, along with modern knowledge of shipbuilding, zoology, and hydrodynamics, we can analyze whether such a vessel could have functioned as described. Let's start with the size and capacity of Noah's Ark. The Bible provides detailed dimensions for this vessel. Length, 300 cubits, about 450 feet or 137 meters. Width, 50 cubits, about 75 feet or 23 meters. Height 30 cubits, about 45 feet or 14 meters. Three decks or levels. This would make the Ark roughly the size of a modern cargo ship, with a total deck area of about 101,250 square feet, or roughly 9,400 square meters, and a volume of approximately 1.5 million cubic feet, about 42,475 cubic meters. Could it hold a zoo of animals? Genesis chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 chronicles God's basic instructions to Noah concerning his cargo of animals. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Later, in Genesis 7, verses 2 and 3, God gives an additional command. Take with you seven pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and one pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. A possible reason why God instructed for seven pairs of the clean animals to be preserved is so some of them could be sacrificed after the flood without endangering the species. In fact, as soon as Noah and his family left the ark, Noah offered sacrifices to the Lord from among the clean animals and clean birds. The term kind, given in both sets of instructions, specifically in reference to taking onto the ark animals after their kind, is often interpreted as referring to broader biological categories, like families or genera, rather than species. So, for example, instead of bringing wolves, foxes, coyotes, dingoes, and domestic dogs separately, Noah may have taken one pair from the genus Canis. Estimates suggest Noah may have needed to bring between 2,000 to 16,000 animals, assuming that many modern species diversified from common ancestors after the flood. That would require a lot of space, right? If the average animal size was roughly that of a sheep, and allowing for storage and walking space, the ark would have had ample room to house them. Modern livestock transport estimates show that a ship this size could hold tens of thousands of animals. And many animals could have been young or in hibernation states, reducing space, food, and waste concerns. Noah and the animals were on the ark for approximately 1 year and 10 days. That's a long time for food and waste management. The Bible does not specify feeding methods, but storage for compressed food, hay, and grains could have fit within the ark's cargo capacity. Some animals hibernate or require minimal sustenance for long durations. A waste removal system could have been implemented using slatted floors, gravity, and possible ventilation. So it looks like the ark would have been big enough for the task described in Genesis. But was it seaworthy? Could it have survived on tempestuous waters for the time specified in the narrative? The ark's dimensions and design closely resemble modern stable cargo ships and large wooden vessels from history. Modern engineering evaluations suggest that the ark would have been seaworthy. Let's start with stability and buoyancy. The 6-to-1 length-to-width ratio is ideal for ocean stability, minimizing excessive rolling and tipping in rough waters. Studies, such as those by Korean naval engineers, More specifically, a 1993 study by Dr. Sian Hong found that Noah's Ark had an optimal balance of stability, strength, and comfort, making it highly resistant to capsizing. Next, structural integrity. Ancient wooden ships struggled with warping and leaks, but a gopher wood, likely cypress or similar hardwood construction, coated with pitch, would have enhanced waterproofing. The addition of internal bulkheads and crossbeams could have reinforced structural integrity. How about wave resistance? Simulations suggest the Ark could have withstood waves up to 100 feet, 30 meters high, without capsizing. Unlike traditional ships designed for speed, the Ark was meant for floating rather than navigating, making its box-like structure practical for survival rather than mobility. Are there historical and engineering comparisons? The Greek Tesserocontores, at 240 feet, and Chinese treasure ships, around 400 feet, prove large wooden ships were possible in ancient times. However, these required metal reinforcement, something the Bible does not mention. The Ark Encounter in Kentucky built a full-scale Ark replica, demonstrating that the size and structure could be physically feasible. Other models tested in wave tanks and hydrodynamic simulations have shown that Noah's Ark, as described, would have been capable of floating through stormy seas. Given the biblical dimensions and modern engineering analyses, Noah's Ark would have been large enough to house thousands of animals and sufficient food stores, while remaining seaworthy through a turbulent global flood. The design, size, and stability align well with principles of naval architecture, making it feasible within the parameters described in Genesis. While the scientific and historical consensus remains divided over whether the flood was a literal global event, the biblical description of the Ark's design is highly practical and consistent with maritime engineering principles. Whether through divine intervention, advanced ancient shipbuilding techniques, or both, the Ark remains one of the most fascinating vessels ever described in historical and religious texts. The quest to find physical evidence of Noah's Ark has intrigued researchers and explorers for decades. While numerous expeditions have been undertaken, definitive proof remains elusive. However, recent discoveries have reignited interest and debate within the archaeological and scientific communities. In the mountains of eastern Turkey, particularly near the Drupanar Formation, an international team of scientists has conducted extensive analyses on a boat-shaped mound first identified in 1948. In 2021, researchers from universities in Turkey and the United States collected nearly 30 soil and rock samples from the site. These samples were dated between 3,500 and 5,000 years old, aligning with the biblical timeline of Noah's flood. The presence of clay-like substances and marine materials suggests that the area may have been submerged underwater, supporting theories that this site could be linked to the Ark. Additionally, a 3,000-year-old Babylonian clay tablet, held by the British Museum since 1882, has been re-examined by scientists. This tablet, believed to be the world's oldest map, features cuneiform text and symbols that researchers now interpret as references to biblical stories. The deciphered symbols are thought to provide a route to Urartu, known today as the region of Mount Ararat in Turkey, which the Bible identifies as the Ark's resting place. Despite these intriguing findings, the archaeological community has not reached a consensus regarding the existence or discovery of Noah's Ark. Many scholars urge caution, emphasizing the need for more rigorous evidence and peer-reviewed research before drawing definitive conclusions. The search for Noah's Ark continues to be a topic of fascination, blending elements of faith, history, and science. Noah's Ark was more than just a ship. It was a divine blueprint for survival, demonstrating both practical engineering and God's wisdom in preserving life. Its size, design, and seaworthiness align with known principles of naval architecture, making it feasible within the biblical account. Whether through human craftsmanship guided by God or miraculous intervention, the Ark remains a powerful testimony of God's judgment and mercy. Just as Noah found refuge in the Ark, we find our refuge in Christ, who provides salvation from the coming judgment. Father, thank you for the story of Noah, which reminds us of your faithfulness even in the midst of judgment. Help us to trust in your wisdom, to walk in obedience as Noah did, and to seek refuge in the Ark of Salvation found in Jesus Christ. May we stand firm in our faith, knowing that you always provide a way for those who follow you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.